More states are implementing MSP regulation. What does this mean for the MSP community? We'll discuss that topic on today's MSP Zone.
You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
A ton of stuff to discuss today. Those of you listening to this podcast probably are anticipating some Kaseya news. We're going to have that in a separate episode, but that certainly is part of the analysis and the discussion we're going to have today on MSP regulation is undoubtedly going to interact a lot with the Kaseya cyber attack news that happened over the Independence Day weekend here in the United States, but it's impacting not just U.S. MSPs and customers, it's impacting everybody, MSPs and customers from all over the world. And we will be discussing that and analyzing that and giving you our feedback very shortly. But this is actually a story from last week. So I think July 1st, we actually ran this article in the MSP Alliance daily newsletter. And I think if you go back to the archives, if you get the newsletter, you can check out the Thursday edition. And I think it was, again, July the 1st, may have been the Wednesday edition. But that link to a story on this topic was included in that newsletter. We're going to go a few steps deeper and actually give you an analysis of each of the different state laws. We're going to give you a consolidated view of what these different laws mean. We're going to give you some best guess estimates of where we think other states may be headed. And, you know, we'll make it nice and easy to understand, or as easy as we can make it to understand. So let's just dive right in. The Louisiana MSP registration law, as we keep referring to it, is the prototype for MSP regulation. I shouldn't say regulation, it's MSP legislation, because it's not directly regulating MSPs and dictating policy of how MSPs ought to behave. It really is saying we, the state of Louisiana, want to work with managed service providers and acknowledge that we and the state and the different agencies that make up the state of Louisiana have a legitimate need to work with MSPs, and this is how we want to interact with them, and this is how we would prefer to interact with them. And so it's in many ways a pro-MSP piece of legislation, and that's certainly how we had advocated to the powers that be in that state and other states that should be the kind of prototype or the template for MSP legislation, meaning laws that impact or directly or indirectly impact MSPs. To date, most of the legislation that we've seen for the last 20, 30 years has been indirect MSP regulation, meaning it doesn't specifically say, none of it until the Louisiana law ever said specifically MSPs or managed service providers. They have, however, talked about the end result to the customer being managed by an MSP, and that has been typically the common focus of any legislation, any policy making that has come out has been the focus of the end user of the managed service provider. That's changing, and we've been talking about it since last year when the Louisiana law first emerged, and we've been saying this is not going to be the last time. It's not going to be the last time. We told you so. All right. I hate to say it, but we told you so. And it's, they are no longer the only one out there. Several other states, including one that is actually including managed service providers in the text of the bill. Now it could change, but you know, as of right now, it does specifically call out MSPs. And, before we get into each of the four states, a general rule, or not a general rule, a general concept that, that you guys as listeners ought to be aware of. We have been talking for many, many years that the importance of MSPs globally is a good thing. But that importance, the role of the MSP, as important as it is, also comes with great responsibility. And that responsibility is being highlighted, I think, in all of these laws and bills that are being passed, because it really just calls more attention to that importance of the MSP in our society today. The ransomware situation is getting worse. I think that there's no doubt about that. There's no real debate about it. I think that there are things that we could do. I think there are things we should do as a community. We will be putting out our guidance on, you know, and we've put out our guidance before about where we stand on ransomware and what MSPs ought to do and what they ought to encourage their customers to do. But the fact that you've got these states acting in unison. When I say unison, they're all acting fairly similarly to one another, meaning that the substance of these laws is really similar. And what I don't think that they got together. I think that state governments, like corporations, frequently share information, right? They are aware of what they are doing, others are doing. And so they may say, okay, well, you know, an attorney general here, or a secretary of state here, or a state senator, a state congressman, or a governor, or whoever may say, okay, let's look at this state. Oh, this is interesting. Maybe we should follow them and do something similar in our state. And that's how it goes. And that's, you know, it's a reality that, you know, I think we all know exists. So the fact that we see these states that are not in any way really contiguous. I mean, they're all over the map. I mean, one is New York. One, I suppose, close by them is Pennsylvania. The other one is Texas, and the other one is North Carolina. Those are the four states that have passed these laws that are, first and foremost, they are ransomware laws, and they deal with ransomware payments. And they're really, if you want to boil down even further, they are ransomware payment disclosure laws. For the most part, that's the best way to approach and look at all of these, right? If you live in any one of these states, you definitely want to look at the text of each of those bills. Now, that's another thing. These are all bills, right? These have not been passed into law, meaning they've come out of their legislative body, and they are going to presumably a governor to be signed into law. So we have put the text, links actually to the text of each of these state bills in the show notes, so you guys can go and look at it for yourself. I encourage you to. It's a little dense, you know, if you're not used to reading, you know, political, you know, legislative documents. But it's good, especially if you live in any of these states, you should absolutely read these. And so I'll summarize basically what each of them is talking about and what they're trying to accomplish. So first of all, we've talked about that they are ransomware specific or focused, and they are really looking at wanting to understand not data breach notification, because we already have those. Remember, if you go back and remember some of the podcasts episodes we've talked about and some of the articles on MSPAlliance.com, we've talked about data breach notification requirements. They're in all the 50 states. They're all over Europe with GDPR. They're pretty much a global concept right now, and a global best practice, meaning if you have a data breach event, you have certain requirements depending on what jurisdiction you fall under, where you would have to make a disclosure. Nothing earth-shattering there. These four states are taking it a step further and saying, we now want to know about ransomware payments. And that is a step further than, it's going beyond data breach notification. data breach notification would not necessarily say anything about a ransomware payment, right? If you said, all right, we think we had a data breach event on this date, we think that these many people may have been compromised, and this is our official notification, and you've been notified, and our obligation is done, right? That used to be the model. Now these states, and I think it's going to be very short order before we have all 50 states acting. Wouldn't surprise me if the federal government acted, although whether they should or not, that's a whole separate question. And we will most likely see other countries throughout the world act similarly. And that is to say, if you have a data breach event, you fulfill your obligation by notifying people that you've had a data breach event. But these laws go further and say that if you are working for a state agency or a local government authority, is the term that's fairly ubiquitous here, then you as an entity have a duty, have a legal obligation to notify that state agency or a similar type of a party that there has been a ransomware payment. And that's where we are entering a whole new world of public policy shift. And if you are looking specifically at the state of Pennsylvania, the state of Pennsylvania goes a step further than the other three states, where they are saying they're actually prohibiting state and basically taxpayer money in that state to pay for a ransomware event. There are some exceptions. I think that in the Pennsylvania case, there is an exception that if the governor declares a disaster or a state of emergency, that they can authorize a payment in that situation. It makes kind of sense to me. But they are specifically calling out managed service providers. In the state of Pennsylvania, managed service providers are mentioned in that bill, and they are now under a new, if it becomes law, a new obligation to disclose to the relevant agency that was impacted within 1 hour of discovery a ransomware incident. So this is not a payment. So Pennsylvania is a little bit different. They're saying if there's a ransomware event or incident, meaning a demand for ransomware, right, not that you made the payment, but someone, a gang, someone has contacted you and said, hey, we got your data. It's all encrypted. If you want it back, this is our request for money. Then you must, as an MSP, disclose that to the state agency that is your managed services customer. So what does this all mean? Well, first of all, I think what it means is MSPs no longer can rest on their data breach disclosure policies, internal data breach disclosure policies. If you don't have one, you better get one, because you shouldn't be practicing as an MSP and not have a data breach disclosure policy. You should have a method that can be practiced, and I mean practice, meaning before an actual event ever happens, you should have a process trial run where you go through this and work through as a team what you would do and how you would do it, going about disclosing a data breach incident. But now MSPs ought to, and in my opinion, every MSP on the planet ought to be doing. In fact, if you go through the MSP Verify, you also have this as a part of the requirement, because the MSP Verify is the only standard out there that exists today that has a ransomware payment disclosure requirement. And we got that, if you recall, last year when the state of Louisiana came out with their law, we also said we want to stay ahead of this, and we made that part of our standard because we saw the writing on the wall, and we said this is going to be not that long before everybody is asking for this. And sure enough, I think this is proof that we were ahead of the game as we typically are with these things. So you've got Pennsylvania that has a ban on ransomware payments, with their exception of a natural a disaster or emergency, and then you've got a 1 hour of discovery of a ransomware incident. You've got a 1 hour mandatory disclosure requirement to the impacted state agency if the MSP figures out that they have uncovered a ransomware incident involving that state agency. The Texas bill similarly also makes prohibits local government entities from making ransomware payments related to a ransomware attack. So you've got Texas prohibiting it. You've got North Carolina prohibits ransomware payments or otherwise communicating with an entity that is engaged in a ransomware incident. And then New York has a pretty broad spectrum, just broad prohibition against business entities and healthcare entities. They specifically call them out, in addition to government agencies within the state, from paying a ransomware event, a ransom to a ransomware group. So you've got three of the states, with Pennsylvania, and I think all of the states are basically saying that they're prohibiting it. Pennsylvania also prohibits the taxpayer money from paying that. I suppose that's an interesting way to call it. Pennsylvania law makes a special exemption just for taxpayer money. I wonder if there's any way that they could have non-taxpayer money being used for paying this. I suppose not. It's just a different way, but I would call Pennsylvania another, you know, prohibition generally against paying it. So you got four states saying, hey, no more payments for ransomware, and Pennsylvania also going further and saying, hey, you MSPs in Pennsylvania serving Pennsylvania state agencies, you find out about a ransomware incident, you got 1 hour to let us know. 1 hour from the time that you figured out that happened, you got to let us know. So guess what, Pennsylvania MSPs? You don't have a ransomware policy, you better get one. And I mean, you better get one fast, because this thing, if and when it passes, and I think that it's a probability that it will, and even if it doesn't, you should have it anyway, because if the Pennsylvania law doesn't shake you, if the Texas law doesn't shake you, if the North Carolina law, these are all bills, you know, assuming they become laws, and if the New York law or bill doesn't urge you to do this, we certainly already have Treasury Department and OFAC guidance saying, we don't want you to be making payments to ransomware groups, and if you do, well, we just might come after you and sanction you. So you've got the writing on the wall, right, folks? There should be no ambiguity, no matter where you are. And this is not just specific to the United States. If you're in Canada, if you are in Europe, if you are in Australia, Middle East, Africa, if you are in Latin America practicing as an MSP, the guidance is going to be the same for you. You shouldn't count on very much time remaining where you can say, I'm just going to rely on making a ransomware payment. And that means you better have a process, you better have a policy, you better have it practiced, you better have it rehearsed on what you're going to do and how you're going to do it and who's going to be involved and who's authorized to talk to the press, who's authorized to make disclosures. You better have all of that ready to go, and you better have a really good implementation of how you're going to go to your customers and tell them in all these areas, but specifically in the four states here that we mentioned, that the game's over, right? The you deciding you don't want to do certain things, you deciding you don't want to do backup as a service, you deciding you don't like multi-factor authentication because it's too inconvenient to you, those days are over. They're done. It's over. You have no legitimate excuse for practicing poor cyber hygiene anymore. And I'm sorry, but if you are an MSP and you continue to have those customers and they keep pushing you or guilting you into saying, you'll just take care of that for us, won't you? And if we get hit, you'll take care of us. I mean, that's why we pay you, right? No, it's not. We've talked about that as well. MSPs are not indemnification for being hit by a cyber attack. MSPs handle outsourced IT management, among other things. That's what they do, and they do it really well. They do it better than anybody else, but they are not a silver bullet. They are not a magic bullet, a magic shield against any and all attacks that may hit you as a customer. And so the world is changing, and it's changing rather quickly. And you're now getting these four other states adding to Louisiana, where you've got, the 45 other states out there, or the 44 other states out there that have, some time to catch up. But mark my words, it's not going to be that long before you see the other states following suit. It's not going to be that long before you see the Canadian government, the Canadian provincial governments following suit. You're probably going to see the European Union follow this very closely. So New York, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Texas, read those bills. Be familiar with them. Start to really review your internal documentation. Make sure that you've got data breach notification policies and practices ready to go. And make sure that you've got a ransomware incident disclosure and process. And when I say disclosure and process, it's not just knowing that you've been hit, because the knowing is pretty simple. Someone's going to reach out to you and say, I just did something to your data, pay me and I'll give it back to you, right? They're going to let you know. That's like 10% of the way there. The 90% of the rest of the way is you figuring out what you do, right? For those of you in Pennsylvania, the moment you get that email, you're on notice. You've got 60 minutes to notify any of your customers who are state agencies of the fact that you just got, that they got hit by a ransomware, or you got hit by a ransomware and they are impacted. And you better figure out who do we have to call? Who is the person that sends the call? Who's the person that documents and sends the email? Is everyone currently backed up? Are those backups air-gapped? What is the extent of the damage or of the ransomware? Do you have a team ready to go? Do you have the tools ready to go to identify and assess the potential fallout of a ransomware incident? These are all very real things that are now part of the culture, part of the standard operating procedure of being an MSP today. And the first step is, and these are achievable, right? I'm not saying that these things are technically insurmountable. These are all very achievable, but if you've never done a tabletop exercise, if you've never done a ransomware incident exercise before, you better start doing it like now. Like, I'd find an hour or two this week, not next week, this week, and figure out what's your step-by-step process for doing this in the event of a ransomware event. Write it down and practice it and make sure all the relevant parties are knowledgeable and trained and know the stuff by heart. Because it's more than likely that you're going to be someone either directly, and you as an MSP, or on behalf of a customer that gets hit, God forbid, you're going to have to follow through and have a recipe to follow. And it's a lot easier to have it documented and practiced than it is to just wing it and go by the seat of your pants and say, what did we say we were going to do if we get hit? Because you're going to be panicked. Emails and phone calls are going to be flying back and forth. People are going to be screaming. People are going to be really, worried about what's going on. And what you need is calm, methodological process and step-by-step order of what to do. And that will bring you through these periods of stress and difficulty. And it will keep you out of any type of regulatory fire because, again, I'm anticipating that these bills are all going to become law and we're going to see a lot more of this stuff in the near future. The good news is the MSP Alliance has got you covered. I mean, we've been telling you this for years that this is coming, and this is stuff that we live and breathe. And we hope you guys take some comfort in the fact that we feel like as an industry that we are pretty well ahead of all this stuff. So if you have questions, you say, well, I don't understand what this stuff means. Can you guys help us better break it down and make sense of it? Absolutely. This is what we do. Drop us an email, mspzone@mspalliance.com. Send us, give us a call if you want to do that. Let us know. And we're going to definitely be discussing this and a lot of other topics in future conferences, especially MSP World. But this stuff is rather urgent, so I definitely encourage you guys to check out the show notes. Go check out the individual states and, maybe get involved with your local legislators, right? Talk to them. And if you need help with that, that's also something, as we did with the state of Louisiana and other states and other regulatory agencies, if it involves MSPs, we are always happy to help. A lot to take in today, folks. But it's definitely something that I think ultimately will make the MSP professional community stronger. It will make us better, and it will make us more responsive to the needs of the customers that we all serve. This is Charles Weaver with MSP Zone. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you will get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.